When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show, brought to you exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network, powered by Believe, as we announced last week, which is totally cool. My name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired, alongside my very beautiful, handsome, and gorgeous fellow co-hosts, Jerry Ostrowski and John Fina. Fellas, how are you tonight? I'll start there. I'll do that quickly. How are you guys doing?
John?
I'm doing great. Jerry, how you doing?
I am doing awesome. My son, my oldest son's on his way here with his fiance that we haven't seen him in quite a while, so I'm excited to see him.
Very good. Well, it's good to have
finance both in your family now. That's awesome.
Yes, sir.
It's good to have both of you with us. Please, all of you that have jumped into the comment section over here on YouTube, please like, please subscribe, hit that thumbs up button. If you're on Twitter, X, or if you're on Facebook, jump over, as Jerry likes to say, to the YouTube side, where come to the light side of the force, where all the commenters are and all the people are hanging out, having a good conversation. But welcome to Tracy, welcome to Maggie, welcome to Ryan, welcome to Richard Rush, my man Double R, FJ, it's good to see you. It's good to see everybody that's in the comments section. Again, please like, please subscribe. It's so good to have all of you with us. We are in week two of a three-week series where we are going around the NFL, or I should say around the AFC, to talk about the divisions inside the AFC conference. And for this episode, we're going to be talking about the AFC South. Last week we did the North. It was a very good show, very good content. If you missed it, go back and listen to it. This week, we're doing the AFC South, and awesomely enough, the Bills are playing all of these football teams. So let me just set the stage. So we are going to talk about, for this show, obviously in this order, the Texans, who were 10-7 last year, the Jaguars, who were 9-8 last year and lost in wonderful fashion in the last game of the season to the Tennessee Titans. I don't know if you guys got to see that game, but it was a thing of beauty watching them choke in the last game of the season. The Colts, who were also 9-8, and then the Titans, who were 6-11. But we're going to start with the Texans, and I apologize to Bills Mafia up front. I'm the one that creates these graphics, and I did put Stephon Diggs as the biggest picture on the graphic because I feel like he's the biggest talking point for us as Bills Mafia. Now, the game is going to be the game. Right? It's going to be a tough game. They're a good football team, and I feel like they got better. But it's the Stephon Diggs game. Is it not? Is it not the Stephon Diggs game?
Yeah, of course it's the Stephon Diggs game. I mean, this is this will be the topic of the week, of course. Stephon coming into a wide receiver room where he is not the alpha. You know, you look at Nico Collins, you look at Tank Dell. They also got Robert Woods. John Michi III. I mean, they've got a lot of people in that room. That's probably the strength of their team is their wide receiver room. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to me to see how Diggs reacts, A, not being the alpha, and B, playing on a one-year contract after the rework when we traded him, and will he show out to try to get that new deal?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Jerry. So he joins basically kind of a wide receiver core that – we have just been building, right? Spread it around, equality among all. But he wouldn't have enjoyed that in Buffalo, because he wants to be the alpha. Now he's going somewhere where he's going to be in a pool of guys. So I think it's going to be pretty crazy. You know, he might have calmed down, but I don't know. I think it's going to be one hell of a season. I still follow Stephon Diggs, and I'm going to be curious about those mysterious and crypto tweets he puts out.
Well, that's the question for me as we just kind of sit on Stephon Diggs here just for a moment. Diggs has now crossed the 30 barrier. He's in his early 30s. You've got to expect there's a level of maturity that's going to come at some point, right? So you would think that he knows the situation that he's going to. I, for one, have said that Stephon Diggs, if he plays in Houston, he's on a one. So set it up right. The Bills trade Stephon Diggs to Houston. He's got 3 years left on his contract. The Texans immediately void the last 2 years. So he's on a one-year deal with the Texans. I am of the opinion that if Stephon Diggs plays 2 years, 3 years with the Texans and retires, he's more than likely a Hall of Fame wide receiver in the NFL. However, if Stephon Diggs goes to the Texans, then goes to the Ravens, then goes to the Cowboys, then goes to the Eagles, more than likely he misses the Hall of Fame. But the question was this, Jerry, and I know you've got a comment. What is the likelihood, you two as former players, that he's now reaching the point of, I know my role. I know I'm in a room of really good young guys. I'm not the alpha.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe. Finish.
Oh, that's it. That was the question. I'm ready to fit in. Like, what are the chances that the narcissism and the divinness is wrong? But you know what I'm saying? Like
we understand. Yeah, you don't have to elaborate any further. Yeah. And I think the answer is no. I think at this time, at this age, the circumstances that you've been in, both in Minnesota and in Buffalo, you would have seen him grow up a little bit more. And if he hasn't done it by now, it doesn't seem like it's coming for me. Now, whether he makes it into the Hall of Fame, does he retire because he wants to guarantee himself the Hall of Fame? I think players play, and you play for that paycheck, and you keep playing until there are no more paychecks.
Right.
Hall of Fame be damned. So, and I don't know that it necessarily voids his ability to get into the Hall.
If you feel like if he goes to four teams in 4 years to finish his career, and he's a problem child, he's AB, right? Not that he would be Antonio Brown, but it's just a mess.
I hope he tweets like AB.
Antonio Brown called out Jason Kelce today, and I'm just like, bro, there's a beating coming. Like, be careful, right? Anyway,
no, my point with Diggs is this: I think Diggs gets away with or does what he feels he can get away with, right? So if he's in this room and you look across the way and you've got the likes of Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and there are guys putting up numbers, you probably aren't going to hear much out of them. If this team struggles early, which as good as their wide receiver room, their offensive line room is as bad. You know, they don't have a very strong offensive line. It's probably their weakest point of their team. You know, they got Tunzel, they got Shaq Mason. Outside of that, they don't got much. And
they drafted that rookie out of Notre Dame too, right? But he's a rookie, Blake Fisher.
Right, exactly. So if you look at this team and you look at that room, you know, as long as those guys are producing, you probably won't hear much out of them. Now, if they start struggling and having issues, you possibly could hear something out of him because he'll want the football, right?
Right.
I mean, he's a classic guy that goes with the situation. And in Buffalo, he had nobody to check him.
Right.
And for whatever reason, and I think and we've talked about this ad nauseum on this network, but for whatever reason, Josh Allen doesn't have the personality to check dudes.
Right. I agree with that. So you guys, to put it in a frame, so John played with Reed almost his entire career, I believe. And Jerry, I think you caught a lot of Andre's career.
But John only played one more year with Andre Reed than I did.
Oh, gotcha. Very good. So the question is as Andre got older, I mean, Eric came in, right? But was there, I mean, what was that? Because Andre was the guy, I'm open every play. Jim talks about it and laughs. Every time we're in the huddle, I'm open, I'm open, I'm open. How did you see that unfold? And does it feel similar? Like that? Is that just the personality that comes with that position?
I'd say Andre handled it really well. I mean, aside from, you know, when we started losing games overall, there was a little bit of, you know, maybe he was a little butthurt, but beyond that, Andre wasn't a big drama guy. He didn't do anything in the locker room that hurt the team because he wasn't getting enough balls thrown his way. And maybe if social media were around, it would be more amplified. Andre was all right.
Gotcha.
You know, and I was never that guy, so I don't know what it feels like to be an extreme superstar and right. then, you know, have to deal with the latter stages of your career. Right.
So Jerry, you're a superstar to me, buddy.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate that.
Same.
But no, seriously. I mean, it's like the fact that you just, I don't know what that's like when you were, you know, you're, you know, because of age and because of wear and tear, you know, you start playing at a lesser level than you're used to, you know, it's that Tiger Woods effect, right? I mean, Tiger Woods' mind is still winning majors. His body can't walk the course, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, so yeah, I think that's a big part of the Stephon Diggs thing. I personally don't think Diggs had a ton of wear and tear last year. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah. He's going to have a good year. Going to have a good year.
And it will be interesting to see because now he's in a situation where he's not the focal point of the defense anymore.
Yeah. So looking at that,
getting a lot of one-on-one.
Yeah, so looking at that and just kind of getting an idea of the Texans outside of Stephon Diggs. So they were 10-7 last year. They had a great year. C.J. Stroud surprised everybody. If anything should be the surprise, it's the fact that the Ohio State Buckeyes put a good quarterback in the NFL because that hasn't happened probably ever. But they play the Buffalo Bills in Houston October 6th at 1 p.m. It's a 1 p.m. game. I know a lot of people that are already going to that football game. I would love to go. I don't have plans to go. I don't know about you guys, but they obviously brought in Stephon Diggs. They brought in Joe Mixon. They signed Azeez Al-Shaair. They signed Danielle Hunter, which I've wanted Danielle Hunter on the Bills for a very long time. The only real bad move was they got outbid for Sheldon Rankins, who's the defensive tackle. So that team effectively got better, in my opinion, as far as just going into this season. But when you begin to look at it from the study that you guys have done, how do you break this Texans team down?
Well, my concern is that the honeymoon, the luster is off, right? Mm. So
They're the hunted now, right?
So I still think C.J. Stroud is the guy. I mean, super quality guy, right? But going back, 38 sacks total last year, that's a big number. We had 24, I believe, and that's a hell of a lot more. That's almost one per game. I think the offensive line is a problem. They lost the defensive end to the Vikings. Grenard, I think, is last.
Yes,
if I pronounce that correctly. But then they picked up Autry from Tennessee, who had quite a few sacks, right? 11 and a half. Mm-hmm. You know, is that the right fit? They keep Stingley and Nelson in the secondary. I think it's strong. But to me, the biggest thing it hinges on is the offensive line going to protect him? And are the other teams, now that they're the hunted, you know, figuring them out a little bit? That's going to be the biggest part of it.
Right, 13th overall in points scored, and they're 11th overall in points allowed. And you look at the team, and John talked about it earlier, the offensive line is probably a weakness. You look at the defense, they do have some needs in the secondary, but one thing about that defense, you got D'Amico Ryans along with Matt Burke, the defense coordinator. I think that this is a team that will be able to figure out how to overcome some deficiencies on that side of the ball. On paper, this team has enough talent to win a Super Bowl.
Oh, yes.
2 years after, you know, the second year of a rookie head coach that was never a head coach before, and now you've got on paper, you've got a team that can win the Super Bowl. So
right.
as long as they don't have a ton of injuries and all those things, I think that, you know, I definitely think that this is a team that's going to be really, really formidable this season in the league.
Yeah, when you look at the Bills' schedule, they got the Cardinals week one, the Dolphins week two, the Jaguars week three, the Ravens week four, and then the Texans. And we've discussed already that the Bills have a very, very challenging front-loaded schedule. I'm not saying that this is a must-win, but this is going to it's not going to be just a cakewalk. This is going to be a difficult football game. They've shored up where they needed to shore up. They've gotten better. You're going to rely on McDermott and Babich, right? I mean, you're going to rely on them to confuse the second year player who had a good season last season and just kind of see where they end up. But when you look at, and we'll get to again, like we did last week, we'll declare how we feel like this division is going to finish at the very, very end, but you've got to assume that they're probably going to win this division again, I would think, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the big,
this episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Reveal?
That is, yeah. So don't say anything, John.
Cut Jerry, the cake. Jerry, hey, Tracy in the comments asked if Diggs would retire a Bill. I'm going to say two thumbs down on that. Won't happen.
It'll be interesting. Where does he retire then? Oh, so you look at...
Well, Joe, the way it works, right? You can finish your career with Buffalo, you know, having played there for 2 years, but if you were beloved and played eight in Arizona, right, they just sign you and cut you.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, that's what Thurman did. That's what a lot of guys did. So he played 4 years, I believe, in Minnesota. He played 4 years in Buffalo. If he plays one year or 2 years, whatever, blah, 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 he speaks far more graciously towards his time here than he did in Minnesota. He never talks about loving Minnesota, loving that crowd, loving their fans. Like, he talks about Buffalo very, very well. When he left Minnesota, it was like, I'm out. Peace, dog. Like, it just came out that he felt like he was done wrong by the Vikings, that they were trying to send him to Buffalo, almost like, we'll show you, we'll send you to a place where, you know, your career is going to suck. So, like, he came here pissed off at the Vikings.
All right, Joe, let's talk about Jacksonville. They were number two at 9-8.
Yes, they were.
Jerry-o.
You got to talk about it. They lost again in epic fashion. I just love the fact that they lost at the last game of the season. Sorry, you can move on. Jerry,
doesn't everybody except the Super Bowl champion lose the last game of the season?
But you win and you're in, and then you lose to the last place team in your division.
It'd be like
the Bills winning in, and they lose to the Jets. Like,
okay, so do you enjoy that because you have some great disdain for Jacksonville, or you just love to see it? No,
just a hater.
I have great disdain for every team that's not named the Buffalo Bills. Come on.
Okay.
I saw the Bills play the Jacksonville Jaguars in London, and we lost a game I feel like we could have very easily won, and we lost a bunch of really good players during that football game.
Let's not go backwards, Joe. We're talking about the future. Jerry O, what about Trevor Lawrence with tons of cash? What are you thinking? 21 touchdowns, 14 INTs. How come nobody talks about that? That's not awesome.
And they gave up
41 sacks.
$55 million.
But this is a team that, unlike the Bills, is kind of the 180 of the Bills. They want to stretch the field and get it over the top. They lost Calvin Ridley, but they drafted Brian Thomas Jr. from the Texas Longhorns. They signed Gabe Davis, who, by the way, criticized all season long for drops and not making key receptions, did have one of the best deep ball grades in the NFL. So you look at this receiving room, along with Trevor Lawrence, who throws the deep ball really, really well. They're going to try to take the top off of it. Hopefully they've got an offensive line that can block for the new highest paid player in the league, Trevor Lawrence. Now, they do have some weaknesses. Their defense is a little weak. Pass rush is weak.
Well, aside from Josh Allen.
Right.
I would agree with you.
Right. Aside from that's why they did add Josh Allen, because their pass rush was down. That's why they went out and signed him. So, but yeah, I mean, I like Jacksonville. You guys know that I love Doug Pederson. I think he's a great head coach. I think he's a perfect head coach for Trevor Lawrence. And I think that's why you saw that huge contract. Right. You know, like Joe brought up, though, earlier, they need to learn how to finish. You know, they're a team that's putting a good group together, 13th overall points for, 17th overall points against, but They got to learn how to finish. They get in the playoffs, they got to win games. And yeah, that's all anybody's going to care about.
Yeah, the Jacksonville Jaguars were 9-8 last year, as we talked about. The Buffalo Bills play them in Orchard Park on Monday Night Football, September 23rd. They did add, I think you said, Mitch Morse as well. The big loss being Calvin Ridley, as you said. And then they did pick up Eric Armstead, shoring up, if you will, one of their biggest weaknesses last year at defensive tackle. The problem that I have with this football team is I just don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I don't care. You can put $100 million on him a year. John talked about his numbers. It's hard. I see the hand up. And Jerry, I want to hear you talk. It's hard for me to get there. CJ Stroud, yes, right? Anthony Richardson, what we saw early in the season, yes. I can't get there with Trevor. And like that number, they hang that number on him. And I think the pressure of that number just – anyway, go ahead, Jerry.
I think the fact that we just got done talking about the offensive line being extremely flawed, and then Lawrence tried to play through the second half of the season with a high ankle sprain, showed his toughness. He was beat up because of the upfront play. Okay, I think that Trevor Lawrence should get a pass. I think the question mark here is when you look at that division and you're playing all these teams twice, you just brought it up. CJ Stroud, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis. Levis will play much better because Brian Callahan, we'll talk about them in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, Brian Callahan's a hell of a quarterback coach, and his daddy's coaching the O-line, and he knows how to get people to block people. But when you look at this team, you need to worry about playing everybody in your division and those quarterbacks twice with a defense that is extremely flawed. And that's, to me, where you can have the issues. You got to play all those guys twice. You better hope your defense picks it up, because if not, it's going to be tough to win that division. You might end up near the bottom of it.
Oof. So, Jerry, I agree with you, too. And I think they have a weakness at running back. I mean, after Travis Etienne, it drops off to Bigsby, right?
Yeah, Travis Etienne is good, though.
Yeah, like, he's good. Really? And you just one ankle sprain from playing half a game or what have you. I mean, that would be a concern for me. They're so pass heavy. And by the way, Jerry, Brian Thomas Jr., LSU, not
Texas. Oh, that's
Texas.
Right, LSU, not Texas.
I think the big concern is the O-line. I mean, this was hard for me because looking at them tied at Indy at the same record, I was trying to figure out whether to move them up or down. And I don't see how they got a hell of a lot better. You know, just paying their quarterback, picking up Gabe Davis. They lost a pretty damn good guy in the secondary, Williams, who had four interceptions last year to the Rams. So, you know, that's a ball hawk. You get four in a year, that's a good number. Yep. And I just, as Jerry said, if they can't get the defense going, they don't really scare me. And I am iffy on Trevor Lawrence, just as you are, Joe. True pocket passer, but that only works if you can protect. And 41 sacks is just too damn many.
And they've only added – Ezra Cleveland, a guard this offseason, 69th-ranked free agent offseason. They did add one guy, but one guy's not enough for them up front right now. They need more.
I think what gets lost in this –
Well, they added Mitch Morse, but
– Yeah.
They added Mitch as well.
What gets lost in – I think what gets lost in this conversation about the Jacksonville Jaguars, Doug Peterson, Trevor Lawrence, is the fact that they had Calvin Ridley last year, and he did not have people forget, because he got suspended for a year, that Calvin Ridley was the freaking man in Atlanta, and they had nobody around. Like, it wasn't like he went to Jacksonville and was the only guy, so they keyed on him. Well, that's how it was in Atlanta as well. And Calvin Ridley is a very good football player. I just, to your guys' point, I find it hard to remove him from that roster and be like, oh, they're going to be better automatically with Gabe Davis. It's like, and a rookie. It's like, all right. Moving on to the Indianapolis Colts, 9-8 as well. Last year, they missed the playoffs. They play in Indy. They play the Buffalo Bills in Indianapolis, which Lucas Oil Field is a beautiful stadium. I've been in it twice, once for actually the very first football game in that stadium was the Buffalo Bills versus Indianapolis, a preseason game when it opened. I was there for that game, and then I saw Luke Combs there a couple years back, November 10th at 1 p.m. They have extended Michael Pittman Jr., which is probably the most important thing they could have done. They basically spent this offseason re-signing all of their guys. They were like, you know what? We like the roster we have. We're going to keep our own. including Julian Blackman, which was probably one of their bigger re-signings. They lost Gardner Minshew. They lost former Buffalo Bills Zach Moss, and as well as former Buffalo Bill Isaiah McKenzie, who really didn't do anything on that football team. And then obviously the big news is they're getting Anthony Richardson back. I still don't know what to expect from Anthony Richardson. His early numbers looked okay. It felt like they didn't ask him to do a whole lot outside of week one, and then he got injured. I feel like this is – I don't know what to think, right?
And that to me sums it up. He's the big question mark in Indy. Michael Pittman, Jonathan Taylor, Adonai Mitchell, rookie out of Texas. I mean, I think they have the tools, but as we look at the NFL, you can draw a pretty clear line from the top 10 or 12 teams and those below just by virtue of quarterbacking, right? And I think that is just a huge question mark. They did improve on the defense, if you want to say rookie out of UCLA, Latu. But they have – what I like about the defensive front with them is they have a lot of sacks, but they spread them out. Josh Allen at Jacksonville at 17.5. But at Indy, you've got three guys that are just sub-10. And then you add Latu – And you've got, like you said, Julian Blackman and then Kenny Moore, three interceptions for him. I think the defense right now is the strength. If Anthony Richardson doesn't really, get a cohesive feel for the offense and deliver the ball, I see them improving. I just don't see them making a run for the playoffs.
I think their defense is a bunch of witches, especially up front. I mean, DeForest Buckner is as good as they are in the league. You look at a guy named, you want to talk about somebody that nobody really knows his name, a guy like Grover Stewart, who is a great defensive lineman. Samson Ebukam is another one that they have, 10 sacks quietly. Quiddy Pay was also a person that's played really well. And then you add Latu. They're witches up front. I mean, they can get after it up front. My biggest thing with the Colts is, why the hell did they start Anthony Richardson to begin with? They should have went with Gardner Minshew from game one and said, we're going to let Richardson sit back and learn and watch. I mean, we all know physically he is an absolute freak. Recently had a video on Twitter that I saw. He's out there windmill dunking. Obviously the shoulder is okay. I mean, just freakish.
What gave it away, Jerry?
Right. Like freakish NBA type stuff. Like, and right. You know, my feelings about NBA athletes, I think they're the best athletes in the world.
Right.
But when you look at this guy, why the hell did he start from game one? I mean, he should have been on the bench learning, and now he comes back after being extremely raw. His passing numbers weren't great. He's supposed to be known as a running quarterback. His running numbers weren't great. And, you're going to expect him to have a breakout season. Now, you did add Mitchell, the wide receiver. He is from Texas, right, John?
Correct.
Okay, he is from Texas. So you add him. He was the 11th receiver off the board at pick number 52. He's a sure-handed dude. He doesn't drop balls. And Joe talked about it earlier. They re-signed Michael Pittman. They did lose Minshew to I can't remember where he went to.
Eagles, right? Was it Eagles? No.
No, he started out.
Thank God they picked up Flacco.
Right.
and then they got Ellinger behind
Flacco,
him.
Flacco led their Browns to
and then I know.
And then former Buffalo Bill Zach Moss is no longer with the team. So anyway, yeah, I think everybody's sitting back saying, okay, let's grab some popcorn and watch Richardson and see what he does. If he can figure out a way to play at a much better level than he started the season last year, all of a sudden, they probably have a chance to win more games than they lose. It's funny when you look at this division. You think it's tough, somewhat tough, but it could be all over the place by the end of the season.
You brought up a good point, Jerry O. Pick up the popcorn and watch. So my question is: favorite flavor of popcorn?
Mine is the one you get at Costco. It's the cheddar and the caramel corn mixed together. You want to talk about freaking – yes, big time.
I'm just a sucker for popcorn. I don't care
The Moe of popcorns.
What form it comes in, whether it's movie theater popcorn at the movies or it's kettle corn or it's caramel or chocolate, like just – just tee it up, baby. What I want to know is the first.
I like a little tahini in there, though. A little tahini.
Not bad.
Of course you do.
Popcorn is one of those things where it's like, who was the first person that was like, what if we just like pan fry it? What's going to happen? And then when it exploded, were they like, what happened?
It just happened in Arizona, just a regular June day. Somebody left the popcorn outside.
They came outside,
like, what the hell is all this crap? Let me tell
you. Just another thing that dirty Europeans stole from the Native Americans.
They had a corn cob on their dashboard in Phoenix, Arizona, and came back to the car and it was filled with popcorn. They're like, what in the world?
You absolutely could do that here right now.
That's amazing. All right, moving on to the Titans, the Tennessee Titans, who I loathe as a football team. There's nothing that I like about the Titans ever. I don't know what it is. I just can't stand them. They were 6-11 last year. They have a new head coach, as we discussed, Bill Callahan, who you both, Brian Callahan. I type Bill, just Freudian slip because of his dad, who you both, I believe, have had nothing but great things to say about his father and expect great things from him. They play in Orchard Park October 20th at 1 p.m. They've had a slew of offensive signings. It's funny because you got to feel like Mike Vrabel's like, what the F, bro?
thanks. Thanks for bringing the weapons. I'm out the door.
What's with the addition of the word bro on everything?
Did I say everything?
You just got back from Canada. You should be saying A at the end of everything.
A slew of offensive signings, A. They've lost no one that I would say is franchise shattering or altering. And the reality is they basically traded out Derrick Henry, who is a monster, for Pollard. And the reality is Tony Pollard's a good running back, right?
Yes.
Yeah, lobbing it up there. You guys can take it.
No, bro. Tony Pollard is very good. Bro.
They lost Autry with 11 and a half sacks.
True. I missed that one. Yeah, my bad.
But no, I mean, they, you know.
That's a big deal. We did. Our defensive ends didn't have more than 7 sacks each last year.
Leonard Floyd had 9.
Well, he's gone.
Oh, defensive backs. You said defensive backs, right?
Defensive ends.
Ends, yeah. Sorry. Yeah, Leonard Floyd, yeah.
Yeah, Leonard Floyd's gone. I don't count him. So we're returning defensive ends that had less than 8 sacks each or less than 7 each. And we have a defensive tackle who out-sacked by 2.5 or 3 on those guys. I love Tennessee. They gave up 64 sacks last year. That was a 3.5 a game?
They gave up 64. They'll play better this season. I think, again, this is another team that's weak defensively. There's a reason why they went ahead and drafted Tavondre Sweat. You know, they're trying to get better up front. There's nobody up front right now unless Sweat comes out and just sets the world on fire early that should make any offensive line during film study, you know, be nerved up. I think that they've got a ways to go. So I think you'll see them try to run the football with Pollard and some others, and they'll try to control the ball and maybe hopefully get these wide receivers that they signed to, you know, maybe make some play action and things like that with Levis. So I think they will be coached incredibly well offensively. I think they'll play better up front because of who they got coaching them. Are they going to make a monumental just return to the top of the division or a turnaround? I just see that is being difficult for them. They've got a little ways to go.
Yeah, the defense is too soft. They're going to get behind, and then Will's going to be back there slinging it, you know, trying to hit DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Tyler Boyd. That's a great wide receiver.
That is insane. And when you look at the situation as well, because like Will Levis developed a relationship with DeAndre Hopkins quick last year, which was very, very important. But and then you add Tyler Boyd, and then you add Calvin Ridley. It's dangerous.
It is if you can keep the games close. They had 6 interceptions last year total. That's terrible.
That's not great. That's definitely
not great.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
I mean, that's why you get rid of the head coach who was a defensive guy. You play defense like that, you can't have it.
And and if you're down by 10 every game going into the fourth quarter, you're going to be slinging it. And
they were always kind of an enigma as a football team. You just never knew what you were going to get, right?
Right.
Sunday to Sunday. One week they could throttle you, and the next week they might not even show up.
And I will say this, okay, and to use the words of our friend Joe Marino, while PFF is a good tool to use, I don't necessarily agree with all of their grading practices and how they grade players, okay? Coming from a man who does grade players and has a podcast that does it, shout out Joe Marino. You know, I love you, dog.
Woof.
But when you look at this group of starters on offense and defense, their defense does not have a player that graded last season over 72%, and their offense does not have a player that graded over 81%. So this is a roster deficient team right now. They've got to get better. They got to figure it out.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of hope for them, nor do I have a lot of care, just like Joe. They made effort on the offensive line, right? They got Skoronski last year in the draft. They drafted left tackle JC Latham out of Alabama, I believe, and they got a dog. Any of those offensive linemen from NDAC State that are just tough as nails, right? First of all, you have to live in North Dakota. And then secondly, you go to that FCS championship, you're like, my God, we're playing 22 games a season. You're tough as nails, right? But I'm not seeing it.
Two quick questions before we finish the show. So first question, how do you see the Bills play, like, record against this division? First question. So what is the Bills record against this division? And then we'll do how you see this division finishing. So first question, Jerry Ostrowski, the Bills record against the AFC South.
The Bills record against the AFC South will be, drum roll, please. I want to say 4-0, but I'm going to say 3-1. And the main reason I'm going to say 3-1 is we seem to have the ability to lose a game or look really, really bad in games we shouldn't lose. So that should give you a little clue on what I'm thinking, that one loss maybe isn't the Houston Texans, folks. It might be somebody else. Yeah.
So but,
I'd say 3-1.
We go to Houston. We go to Indy. Do we host Tennessee and Jacksonville?
We play in Indy. We play in Orchard Park against the Titans. We play the Jacksonville Jaguars in Orchard Park. And yes, we play the Texans in Houston. So Texans away, Texans away, Colts away, the other two home.
Yeah, I'm with Jerry. We're 3-1.
I'm in the same boat. And I don't think it's necessarily that the loss is the team that we necessarily feel like it's going to be. I feel like, you know, it brings up a point, which is Billsy. We all know the term Billsy, and I'm on a network with two former Buffalo Bills.
Shorzy? Did you Bills. Say Shorzy?
We need to do a show around the concept of a Billsy loss and see what two former Bills players feel about that concept and what it means. Because my dad always calls it when the wheels come off. Well, the wheels just came off. Like, it's just one of those things. We got a super chat from Scott Blakely, who, Scott, you are just awesome and wildly, amazingly too generous for us.
I agree.
Very, very much appreciate you and your commitment to this network and us. So appreciate you, bro. Scott asks or says, since you both played, how would you rate the O-line, D-line in the trenches? Now, Scott, are you asking for just this division?
I think he's talking about our.
Okay, gotcha. How would you rate our? My bad. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. Who's first, Jerry?
You.
Okay. I won Rochambeau. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it. Thank you for the super chat. I think our offensive line is actually in the upper echelon, right? 24 sacks last year. You can argue that Josh Allen made it happen with his feet. I really don't care. Spencer Brown, healthy, all pro at left tackle. I think we're strong in the middle with Torrance. And frankly, I think this is one of the top probably 10 offensive lines in the league. I am concerned, and I have made it known that I am concerned about our defensive line, the production on the edges more than on the inside. I think Daquan Jones and Oliver will be absolutely outstanding this year with the addition of the kid from Duke. My big question is, can we get to the pass rush? Can we get the pass rush going?
Yeah.
I rate our D-line because of the ends mid-tier. Thank you very much for the super chat, sir.
Scott, I hate to make this boring, but I think John Fina said it best. I agree that our offensive line is a top 10 offensive line, although I will go a little bit different. I will go a little bit different. I want to see Edwards in camp, and I want to see McGovern in camp before I just put my big O stamp of approval on everything and just go right on with it.
You'll get nothing and like it.
Right. I think that those, you know, I think McGovern, me personally, I think McGovern's going to be fine. I really do. I watched some tape.
He's going to be a dog.
Yeah, I watched some tape on the All-22. John, I'm going to tell you, he's got some Kent Hull in him, man. Got some Kent Hull in him. And it's long centers and the way they play leverage and arm bar and all that stuff. He's got some Kent Hull in him, and I'm excited to see it. Now, Edwards was a bit of a journeyman before he came to us. Obviously, they believe he's a starter on this team. I go with Cromer. I think Cromer's done a tremendous job with that group, and I think we have talked about this before. He's allowed them to do the things they do well without force-feeding them or forcing them to do techniques that he wants them to do. He gives them a little bit of freedoms. Defensive line-wise, I'm highly concerned about our outside pass rush, but we talked about it on Thursday night on the Big O Show. I do think that Von Miller, if allowed to be that third down pass rush specialist in this defense, I think he's going to have a pretty productive year. Is it record numbers in sacks? No. But anytime he's on the field and he's being disruptive and doing the things that Von does, even at the advanced age that he is, I think Vaughn's going to have a better season, much better season, and be a key addition to this team. But I'm highly concerned about that outside production on the rush. I think our inside guys are really, really good.
There's a lot of noise that's beginning to creep up about Lyle Collins, just for the record. A lot of noise around that. We got to wrap this thing up. So we're a little over time, but that's fine because we got to do, our conference breakdown for the AFC South. And then I just want to talk about just what's coming up for this network real quick before we get us out of here. So who wants to go first as far as how you feel these four teams are going to finish in their division?
First.
Go ahead.
Go first. I got the Texans in first place. I've got the Jaguars in second. I've got the Titans in third. And I've got the Colts last.
So you've got Texans, Jaguars, Titans, Colts. Really? Yes. You've got the Titans finishing over the Colts.
Wow. Yes, I do.
Wowzers. Go ahead.
Wow. Yeah. I pick a repeat of last year, Texans, Jacksonville, Indy, and Tennessee. Although Jacksonville and Indy more or less tied. So that was the hard one for me, but I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to go Texans, Jacksonville, Indy, Tennessee.
And real quick before you go, Joe, the reason I like the Texans third and not fourth, this is Anakin Skywalker and this is Luke Skywalker and Anakin who became Darth Vader. Okay. Luke is the head coach. Darth Vader's the offensive line coach. Those two, they got two head coaches on that football team right now.
I'm just telling you that if the Jacksonville Jaguars, is that who you said was finishing last? No, you've got the Colts finishing last over the Titans, right?
Yeah, the Colts last.
Never mind.
Their owner has a hell of a guitar collection.
Yes. So do I. Texans, for me, I've got the Texans, I've got the Colts, I've got the Jaguars, and the Titans. So we are all three different. So you've got, Jerry's got Texans, Jaguars, Titans, Colts. Mm-hmm. John's got Texans, Jaguars, Colts, Titans, just like they finished last year. And I've got Texans, Jaguars, Titans, Colts. That's just me. Interestingly enough, what a freaking fantastic football show we just had. Coming up on the Overreaction Sports Network, Tuesday for On the Beat, we have Antoine Staley. So for the next 3 weeks before training camp starts, we are going to have a beat reporter from every AFC East division this week, starting with Antoine Staley from the New York Daily Times. Week three, we have Mike Giardi from the NFL Network, also from the Patriots beat. I cannot get a Dolphins beat reporter to respond to me, so I've got some work to do there. But that's what we've got coming up for On the Beat. So Antoine Staley, to be determined, and then Mike Giardi. I'm really, really excited about Mike Giardi. Very excited about that.
That's going to be great.
Yeah, and then
you just said that because he's Italian, Fina. Shut up.
Next week, we have week three of this series. We'll be talking about the AFC West. And then please do not miss the Big O Show, which is now officially on Thursdays. And we are working on Jerry's own opener and video stuff and things like that. So it just takes time to get all this creative stuff done. Before I get us out of here, any final comments from either of you two?
Nope.
Go have some popcorn. This is exciting.
Yeah, I do have a comment. Sydney McLaughlin just broke the world record in the 400-meter women's hurdles. And wow. As soon as I get off this show, I'm running in to watch the replay of it.
That's incredible.
All right. I got a quick comment. I've never seen Henry Jones outside of when I was playing with him at the facility, except when I was in Rome, Italy, yep. And in the Sistine Chapel. I bump into Henry Jones. This is back in the 90s. Crazy. And then I go to my son Bruno's graduation from UCLA. I'm standing around and I hear, "Hey, Fina, there's Henry Jones. He's with his daughter, Jasmine, daughter Jada, his wife who went to the University of Arizona. And last night, the 200-meter hurdles, Jasmine Jones, second place."
That's pretty awesome. Henry Jones, to follow that up, was my favorite Bill in the 90s. So he was the
freaking... Thanks for that, Jerry. You were fourth and I was ninth. So.
Ladies, I'm not responding to that. I wasn't your favorite fan, so I don't want to hear anything about this. Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Show on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network, powered by Believe. My name is Joe Miller. That over there is Jerry Ostrowski, and that is John Fina. We appreciate you guys joining us for a couple minutes. Please like, please subscribe. Join us Tuesday or Wednesday if it's podcast form. For Antoine Staley from the New York Jets. We're going to talk all about the Jets and the 2024 season. So appreciate you guys. Love you. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Much love. Go Bills.
Go Bills.